For our scripture lesson this morning, I would ask if you would turn with me to the book of Acts, the book of Acts, the second chapter, and I want to read verses 42 through 47. That's found in your pew Bible on page 112, on page 112. Will you hear these words? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonder signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as had any need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Praising God and having the goodwill of all the people, and day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Building a community of faith. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the life of the church, we refer to this as the fourth Sunday of Easter. The fourth Sunday of Easter. It is important for us to realize just how much happened in light of the fact that Jesus lived. The church was born. This beginning was something that can be described as dynamic. I want us to hold that image within our minds. For too often today, we come to think of the church only as an institution, only as another organization. But this is not the way it was in the beginning. For in the beginning, the church was a community. It was filled with diversity. There were devout Jewish persons who had come to accept Christ as the fulfillment of all that they had read and believed in the Old Testament. They still went to the synagogue on the Sabbath because they still desired to learn even more. But soon there was conflict. Conflict because they truly believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus had given his life as that sacrificial Lamb of God, and yes, that Jesus had arisen, crucified, but had arisen from the dead. This early community had persons who were devout in their belief. So much so that when told that they could no longer believe it if they were to remain in the synagogue, they were forced to leave. But it did not change their belief. There were also those whose background was idol worship. or they had no belief in a God at all. But they received the message of Christ. And now this diverse group has the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on them. And the church, this diverse community, the church, this fellowship of believers, the church is born. There was a great deal of excitement. In the language that we use today, there was motivation, there was optimism, there was energy. This is what the message of the resurrected Christ can bring. This is what happens, and this is what it means when the power of the Holy Spirit falls afresh upon us. The church is a dynamic organism. We are alive, so much so that the church is meant, this community is meant to be a place, an agent of change and transformation. Let me share 4 points that allowed the early church to be a community of faith. You begin with, they were a learning church. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was it that the apostles had to share? I believe what they were sharing was their experience with Christ. They were sharing with others just what it was that they had heard. Things and truth like, I am the good shepherd. Things like what it was to be a child of God. They were a learning church. Sometimes we overdo it. There was one poor little boy who had heard his father preaching and preaching and preaching. His father preached on justification and sanctification and all the other Asians. Well, little boy in Sunday school, the teacher asked, do you know what procrastination means? The little boy raised his hand and said, I don't know what it means, but I know our church believes in it. We are meant to be a community that is always learning. But we should never get to the point where I say, I know more than you do, or you know more than I do. For you see, what we are learning about is the wisdom and the grace of God. And you can never know too much about the wisdom and the grace of God. We are always called to learn and to grow together. Secondly, they were a community of fellowship. A community of fellowship. They cared one for another. And if this is not the mission of the church, then we are falling short of what it is that we are called to do. Ruth M. Walsh phrased it this way. The response becomes, I was naked, and you questioned my lack of modesty in appearance. I was in prison, and you debated the legal aspects of interference. I was penniless, and you discussed tax-deductible donations from your wealth. I was sick, and you thanked the Lord for the blessings of your health. I was hungry, and you formed a club to study malnutrition. I was homeless, and you said God's love is a shelter under any condition. I was lonely, and you left me by myself while you went to be with your friends. You seemed so holy and close to God, yet I am still sick, alone, and afraid. It may sound simplistic, but it is something. It is something to say, I really care for someone else. It is then that we are in fellowship. It is then that we are together. I wanted to just pause and say, I had the opportunity to marry a young couple here yesterday, Emily and Daniel. Emily is in service in Dallas, Texas. And Daniel right now is in Okinawa getting ready to return to Iraq. They're only going to be together for a couple of days before they have to go back to their places of military service. I really enjoyed just being with them. And thinking first of all about the sacrifice that they were making for their country. And then the opportunity for them to be together here at the altar. When I stepped back and they were lighting their unity candle, it really hit me. It really hit me. Just what that candle meant. Because they are now going to be together, even though they have to be apart. Do you see what I'm saying? Really hit me that. It is something, isn't it, to say we love one another. We care for one another. We are together. What it means to come together. Let me move on. Thirdly, this early community, they broke bread together. And yes, this is a reference to communion. It is a reference also to what it means to really worship God. They worshiped God. Remember, I said just a few moments ago that they could no longer, many of them could no longer go to the synagogue. And so they would meet in homes. They would meet in each other's homes to have fellowship and worship together. But even there, in those homes, the gift of the Holy Spirit was present. And they were able to truly worship in spirit and in truth as the Spirit fell afresh upon them. They also gave thanks for God's creation. Psalm 23 captures it, doesn't it? To give thanks for green pastures, to give thanks for still waters, to give thanks for being led along the right pathway. With this kind of worship, they could not keep it to themselves. Verse 47 said, and day by day the Lord was adding to their number as such was being saved. The last point is, they were a praying church. We must pray today. And it is something to be able to really pray. I thought about this last Sunday as well. First of all, I was praying to get home. But then secondly, as we sat in the circle, I realized just what the gift of prayer is about. And maybe we can do it one Sunday this summer. But I'd like for all of us to have worship in the parlor. All of us. To have worship in the parlor. The reason is there is just something about being in that circle. I think you begin to experience just what they were experiencing in the book of Acts. As we were together in one place, the Spirit came and was present. We need to pray. We need to be a praying church. And we pray to the point where we're able to say, as Christ said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It was William Besser who said, "How can we expect God to be present in our prayers if we ourselves are absent from them?" We need to believe that God answers prayer. Well, the early church was a community of faith. They learned together. They worshiped together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. You might notice this morning, I'm kind of excited. I am. I'm kind of excited. Lou will tell you this is not a good feeling for her after 20 years, but I'm kind of excited. And I'm excited because I think of all the potential that surrounds us. Some days you might feel discouraged, but I just think of all the potential that surrounds us. To be a community. To be a community of faith. Now is very much the time. And so no need then to be discouraged, because this is very much a process instead of just a destination. It is a process. But oh, what can happen along the process. The songwriter, I think, phrased it well, didn't he? "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like that above." Praise God today. Praise God. Praise God for the call to be a community of faith. Amen. Amen. Amen.